Happy Thursday, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us for the replay of Sunday night's live call-in show, where it was Scott and myself and a bunch of calls as we talked about the Disney news of the week, including the menus from Space 220 and Steakhouse 71. What are we excited about at these two restaurants? We also have the return of Candlelight Processional with some changes over at Epcot. And we have some dessert parties and dining packages coming back as well. And then we get into the big news of the week. You can now stand in a physical line for Rise of the Resistance. As of the day this show releases, no more boarding groups and virtual queues for Rise of the Resistance. What does this mean for our future trips over to Disney's Hollywood Studios? This and much more coming your way right now. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today for all of your trip planning needs. We'd sure love to help you with your next Disney vacation. It's the greatest way to support the show, and you're going to get outstanding service for no additional cost to you. When it comes time to head to a Disney destination, your first stop should be over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. One extra click means a lot to us. Just click through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, thank you sincerely to our patrons who allow us to put this show out 4 times a week all around the world. It's because of your support that we can keep on podcasting, and we sure love doing this show. Our patrons also get a 5th show called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. If you'd like to support the show yourself over on Patreon, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Hey, 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 everybody. Happy Sunday night or happy Thursday if you're checking out the show here on the podcast feed. Welcome to the BOGP Open Line, a.k.a. it's you, me, and Scotty G hanging out for the next hour, and we're going to be talking Disney with some Disney news at the top of the show. Then, of course, about 10 minutes in, we're going to open the phone lines up at 407-413-9395. Give us a call. You're on the show right away, and we'll be talking about what is on your mind. And we have a lot to talk about this week, including something I didn't think would happen, but it happened out of the blue, and it's going to change all of our trips to Disney's Hollywood Studios. But before we get to the news today, let me introduce my friend who, if you can't find him, hosting a Disney podcast, which you're going to get a pretty big dose of you, me, and Scotty G this week. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you can't find him there, he's on a golf course somewhere. I can promise you, early mornings on the weekends, that's where he's at. It's your friend of mine, Scotty G from Up in the Mitten. What's up, Scott?
Hey, Mike. Happy to be here again. So there's 3 things I wake up at 5 in the morning for.
Family show now. Hey, hey.
Yeah. Early flights to Florida, run Disney or / training runs,
right,
and golf. Those are the only 3 things I wake up early in the morning
for. Okay, very good. I was going to say a big breakfast at Denny's would be something that would be on my my list too. Actually, around here it's called
Dingers. Probably I'm still awake. If I'm doing a big breakfast at Denny's, because I didn't go to bed.
Yeah, you know what? Speaking of that, we have this, it's like a Denny's, but it's a family-owned place, only one of them. It's in this, you know, we live in St. Charles. Well, you've been there. It's called Gingham's Family Restaurant. Yeah. It's open 24 hours, and I always tell my wife, in the summer when she's off, I'm like, we have to just, one night, because I go to bed at like 10. I'm like, I got to set the alarm for like 2:17 a.m. I just want to go in there like at 2:17 a.m. Like back in the day when we were like, you know, 19, 22 and have a big greasy breakfast. She's always like, yeah, you say that all the time. You're never getting up. I'm like, yeah, you're right.
It's when you're done going to the clubs. That's where you go.
And speaking of clubs, how about Club Cool being back open? What do you like so far? We've seen with that this week.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. The lines, like it was very popular. Right?
Yeah, it was.
I wasn't a fan of like the hoarders, right? Kind of grabbing all of the merchandise. I mean, that's another rant for another day, but that kind of bugged me as usual. But the merchandise in there looks pretty cool. Like, how about you and I get those jackets?
I'm thinking about it. Because I'm a Coke. I mean, I'm a Coke guy. I'm a Coke Zero. I mean, need to say zero sugar, and I'm totally in. You know, I think I've earned some free merch as much as I've pushed it and as much as I drink it. I had to make a Target run yesterday just to get 4 cases.
Gotcha. Hey, and it wouldn't be a Sunday in this time of year without us just giving a shout out to our football teams. Go Green, Michigan State with a nice win in South Florida.
Yep.
Taking on Miami Hurricanes, and Mizzou had one of those cupcake teams.
Yeah, that's
schools,
right.
I think, yes. And they dominated.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. When it's 38-0 at halftime, you're having a good old time. So yeah, it's a good week. I mean, high school football team dominated. So yeah, it's a trifecta here. We had the high school team, the college team. What was the third win? Let's talk about this last night.
Cardinals winning.
Cardinals. That's it. Cardinals.
You got the Kansas City football team playing tonight.
Yeah, I don't. I try to get into them, but they're on the other side of the state. I tried when the Rams left. I just can't do it. But anyway, Lisa's asking, this is a great question. And I honestly didn't know this until I started hanging out with Scott. She says, that sounds stupid, but what's the mitten? So Scott, explain them. She's like, where is this cap from? And why is he not from the glove or the, you know, something like that? What's that about?
The mitten is another term for the great state of Michigan. If you look at a map, it is in the shape of a mitten. And if you ever meet anyone in Michigan, you stick your hand up and you kind of point in your hand where you live. Those that are watching, I live right here in Lansing, the capital city.
See, that's one of the great things I love about local areas in the United States is everybody, you know, we have so many crazy things in Missouri that we could ask. And, you know, like people get it from here, but nobody else. But yeah, I love how you said, yeah, like, okay, we're from like here, you know.
If
you go up to the
great. If I want to go to Detroit, I'm going to go over. I'm going to take a drive and go over here. The other day, a couple weekends ago, I was here in the Thumb at Port Austin.
Now, where's the place you go, the what's it called? Not Sault Ste. Marie, but the place that's the island. Mackinac. Is that up at the tip right up here? Is that
finger? It's right here. So if you're really fancy, then you go like this and you make the Upper Peninsula for those that are watching the video. You make your other hand sideways for the UP, which is a gorgeous place, by the way. We got to get you up there. Mackinac. I know you want to see the Sioux Locks.
I do want to see the locks. I think more than Mackinac. I love mechanical stuff like that.
You would love Mackinac Island. It would remind you of Disney.
Yes.
Like when you get to like that main street area and you smell the fudge and there's two distinct smells, sometimes three, depending on the year. There's lilacs, depending on if it's lilac season. There's the fudge, and then there's the horses.
That's what I was going to say, because I've seen the horses. I was like, I know one of them's got to be the horse poop. Yeah. Yes. Sorry for eating. Okay, so let's hit the news from themouseforless.com. Ricky is down at Walt Disney World right now, just so you have a little heads up on this week. She's down there for the Ratatouille AP preview. I think everybody agrees it's a pretty cool ride. I mean, I don't think there's going to be anything groundbreaking that she has to say, but she'll come back with some, her thoughts and everything. I hope she gets some crepes. That's what I told her. More important than riding the rides, eat the crepes. I want to know what that's about. And then Pam is actually on the Disney Dream right now. She's doing a back-to-back. I know, seriously. I mean,
you're doing a Halloween. I think it's a Halloween one this weekend, and then you go on a regular one. So jealous of Pam.
For real. Because I've been watching coverage. There's a few people on social media that are on that cruise. And it's just fun to see the characters dressed up. I love that. I see. Have you ever done a Halloween cruise? I haven't done a Halloween cruise.
I haven't done a
Christmas cruise. Well, I always cruise in the summer, mostly because of my wife. But I did spring break one time. But yeah,
my cruises have been with you, so yeah, I definitely have not.
But they do a good job with like that spooky looking tree and the atrium decorations, all the orange brown. Like I love the portholes. I guess they're the big portholes, like going down to Enchanted Animator's Palette, the big public areas where they make them look like jack-o'-lanterns. I love that stuff.
Yeah, all those, like, the cruise themes seem fun. Like, they do, like, the Star Wars one. They have the Marvel ones. Like, I've always done, like, your basic ones. So if you ever wanted to switch things up, right, if you do, like, the same itinerary on the Dream, but, you know, I've done it, like, 3 or 4 times, like, we have, a good opportunity is to try one of these specialty cruises with a different theme.
Yep, I agree. Sorry, Mallory was just giving me a remote that I have no idea why she's handing me a Roku remote. We're not on Roku, so... I think she might be cleaning her room.
Are we live on other channels?
I don't know. Maybe she's like handing me this remote. I'm like, okay,
they're on CBS right now. They interrupted the football game.
Look out, Tony Romo. We're taking your job. Anyway, okay, so let's hit the news. First of all, we got the menus for some restaurants. Let's kind of combine two of these stories into one. We had Space 220 is opening tomorrow. Now, tomorrow it's opening up to walk-ups, and then I believe it is – I should look at the story. But I believe that
you can book reservations tomorrow at the live of this recording. If you're listening on the feed, like this is old news. But on September 20th, I believe you can book dining reservations as well.
Right. So what I've seen – okay, let's hit Steakhouse 71. I'll be honest. I'm trying to like wrap my head around these two restaurants because I'm excited about both of them for different reasons. I think that, and this is me, right? I used to work at space camp. I taught space science. I was all in as a kid and as a teacher I helped build the Challenger Center here in St. Louis. I'm all in on the space program. So Space 220 is going to be awesome, but I'll be honest, Space 220 to me looks like it's going to be a one and done or like a one. And then maybe 5 years later, go again. Where I could see myself at Steakhouse 71 being, that's a place I got to go at least once a year which I don't know if other people are feeling that way, because I think it's a Space 220 is more of like a novelty to be able to have the, you know, the view. And now, again, I haven't been to either, so I could change my tune. I'm just guessing from what I've seen so far. But Steakhouse 71, I like how it celebrates the history of Walt Disney World itself. It's in the contemporary. It's easily accessed from the Magic Kingdom. Of course, Space 220 is right inside of Epcot. But it just seems more my jam. I don't know. What did you think about these two restaurants just initially before we've ever been there?
Yeah. So when the announcement of Steakhouse 71 came out, my instant thought was, being a Disneyland guy too, like Steakhouse 55 at the Disneyland Hotel. I'm like, oh, okay. I like what they're trying to do here. You know, like have the original resort, like have the steakhouse. So, and honestly, like I wasn't the biggest fan of the wave to begin with. So
yeah, I was
like,
I always went there with friends, and I love the idea that it was easy to get into, but I just felt like it kind of underperformed. And I had like great servers, Tim, and one of the servers.
Honestly, though, I liked in the early years, like when I couldn't get California Grill, I would always book that. And like, I really loved their steaks there, but I thought like the breakfast was overhyped, but I think the breakfast is kind of a similar menu if you take a peek at it. But like, honestly, like I'm super pumped for Steakhouse 71. I think we need that on the monorail resort, because I think Magic Kingdom struggles with table service, and this is like a, you know, take a ferry boat or a monorail over in the middle of the day, get some lunch or late afternoon, get some dinner. I think that's a great option. Now Space 220, as you were saying, where I struggle with that, because I think Epcot just has great places to eat.
That's it.
You know,
it's like a lot of competition.
I think about like the restaurants in Future World, like I rarely go to, because when I eat dinner at Epcot, like I kind of want to go through International Gateway, just hang out World Showcase. I don't want to take a hike to Future World necessarily. So I don't think it'll be a one every 5 years for me, but we'll just see how it goes, right? And how it tastes and everything. But I'm kind of with you on the Space 220.
I think they're going to keep the Space 220 on that prefix type menu where, and let's all agree. Let's start this even before the restaurant's open. We're going to call it we're just going to, our shorthand from now on, Space 220, we're just calling it 220. Like, so that makes it easier in a text.
And I call Steakhouse 71.
That's right. Steakhouse 71 is going to be 71 from now on. So when we're talking about it on the show, we all understand what we're saying here. And when we have to text each other for ADRs, that's what we all do here, Scott and Pam and Ricky, and we're trying to coordinate everything for the 50th. 71 or 220. It's super easy. Okay, so there we go. No, but I will say, you know, the prefix menu, I get that at Space 220, because I think that it reminds me more of like a cruise ship restaurant, where if you think of it, a cruise, they're you know, preparing all these meals in mass, you know, just grabbing it out. You know, of course you can order off the menu, but there's like five things. So, you know, where 71 is going to be more... We'll get to that in a second. Sorry about that. But yeah, I think 71 is going to be more of your typical restaurant where you're there for the food. And I think that while the food does look interesting at Space 222, I think that's almost secondary to the experience. You're going to Steakhouse 71 for the food, I would guess.
Right. And it's just nice to hang out at the Contemporary. Like, I love going to deluxe resorts, you know, whether it's around Christmas time to see the Christmas decorations, get a meal or whatever. Like, I feel like that... I just know my style, and I'm going to be attracted to 71 a lot more than Space 220.
I agree. And all I got to say is that cake that is shown, you know, like they show a little thing for the food at Steakhouse 71. And I mean, you know what that reminds me of is that cake that you get at the Top of the World.
Top of the World, right? Top of the World cake is so exactly good. What it reminds me of.
That's the best piece of cake I've had in my life. And it was huge.
And then we'll just take it on the buses and offer it to everyone. Anyone want some cake?
Yeah, cake and tequila do not mix. I'll just say that. Okay, so dessert parties and dining packages are now coming back to Walt Disney World. So we have these different dessert parties. We have harmonious viewing. They had this right at the end of Illuminations over at Rosencrown, where you can watch the fireworks over there. I mean, we have the one. So let me get to the Epcot dinner packages. You got one at Rosencrown. You got one at Spice Road Table. So you can combine dinner with a harmonious showing. And then you also have, because they have all these kind of dessert parties, let me just hit the names of them real quick. There is a Disney Enchantment pre-party for the 50th fireworks at the Magic Kingdom. There is a Treats and Seats in that one. And let me say, this one is during the show, I believe. Yeah, so I'll make sure I got that right. And then there is an after party for Enchantment as well. And then they have the Sparkling Dessert Cruise, which is out on Seven Seas Lagoon. And the 50th flavors and fireworks at Disney's Contemporary Resort, which is at California Grill. So which one of these did any of these get your attention?
A lot of them did. Yeah, as
these are your thing. I get it. These are totally your thing.
Yeah, I like to spend money on these for whatever reason. I'm foolish. So one that you and I haven't talked too much, and oh, Missouri's talking to me.
I got the phone ringing. I got people handing me Roku remote, Siri's jumping in. What's going on?
The California Grill one like really intrigues me because I love watching fireworks from California Grill. That's like my go-to spot. That's my number one spot. So that one really intrigues me. But I really enjoyed the dessert party. I know you did the dessert party with the Magic for Less, you know, a couple times and at Magic Kingdom, and those are awesome. Speak to that. Those are fantastic. And I mean, the desserts are like hit or miss, you know, like, I mean, they're good, but like really what you're paying for is like that prime viewing spot. Yeah,
you're paying for that VIP feeling, right? You have a space where you don't have to get there early. You don't have to fight the crowds. Right. You know, you're going to see and then, you know, the desserts are just kind of the icing on the cake, even though it's dessert.
Ooh, nice one.
There you go. Thanks.
But yeah. So you're basically, you hit it right there. You're paying for that VIP experience so that you don't have to battle crowds. Now, mind you, it will still be kind of crowded where you're at. Like they're going to jam as many people in there, you know, to get that dollar, get the money in, but it's still going to be a comfortable experience and you don't have to wait like 2 to 3 hours ahead of time for a good spot. You're paying for that time savings basically.
Okay. So this show is getting extremely weird because now I just heard a huge clap of thunder outside and 15 minutes ago, there was not a cloud outside. So I don't know what that was, but they said it might rain tonight. So who knows what's going to happen on tonight's show. I'm just saying it is a weird one. No, I agree. Now, I'm kind of a roll your own dessert party guy. I'm totally cool with like at the studios for Star Wars fireworks. I go grab a PB&J milkshake from a Tune In Lounge and then just watch it. But they are, I mean, I think it's a cool thing to do once and then for special occasions. Say you're there for, you know, celebrate, you've trained for 6 months and you're at a race weekend, go to a dessert party, you know, live it up.
My look at it, Mike, is like a new fireworks show for a 50th anniversary that.
Yeah, there you go.
A lot of people are going to want to wait out and see, you know what? Like, I want to get a special treatment for this because it's a special brand new show. That's how I'm kind of looking at it for these next few trips I'm taking.
Yep. Okay. I screwed up on this one because I got suckered on this show because I was watching Twitter. Finding Nemo is not canceled. It is coming back in a reimagined state in 2022, which I have no idea. Disney does not call me and like, Mike, I got to run a couple things by you before we do this. Right. I'm just guessing. But I would say Finding Nemo comes back in 2022. I bet you the show is shorter because that was a long show. I think it was about 30 minutes, if maybe a little longer.
It was longer.
It was a great show, though. But I bet it comes back.
I loved it. I mean, you and I talked about this. Like,
it makes you cry.
I look over at my daughter at the show, and I'm just like in tears every time.
It totally does. It totally does. I would assume.
When Nemo comes back and just like, I love you, Dad, or whatever it is, like, I'm gone.
And then, Nemo's got to leave. It's like, no, my kid can't leave. Because it hits you. Dude. You haven't had it yet. Wait till you drop Emily off at college, man. Dude, I cried for 2 hours down 70. Now when Mallory goes away to school, I'll be just like doing cartwheels all the way down 7. No, she's standing actually right off camera here. So
that's what happens when you already have one that you already sent off. The second one's a lot easier, right?
Exactly.
But I'm not a fan of shorter shows, you know, as someone that frequents, you know, like I want like the full experience. Like, but we've had things cut in the past. Like the Tiki Room is a little bit shorter now. Country Bear Jamboree is shorter. They want to get more people in, right?
Right.
So I think you're spot on that. They're probably going to reduce the show some because it was kind of lengthy. But I'm just glad that it's not going away. They're going to use the space in that theater. It's a beautiful theater, and I'm just excited for it.
I am too. I think to me, because I'm not a guy who goes to Broadway shows. We have a theater in St. Louis called the Fox Theater. It's where all the, you know, the big shows come in downtown. And I've gone and seen The Lion King, and that was amazing. Like with all those puppets, you know, like they do. Mm-hmm. It's almost like what they do in Nemo.
It's very similar with what they do in Nemo. You're right. You know,
I think they need to hang on to these kind of things just for the fact that folks that are not from like, you know, New York City or major metropolitan areas, you know, folks that are, you know, outstate Missouri or, you know, outstate Michigan, that maybe don't have exposure to, because I mean, I don't know, I'm not an expert, but I mean, to me, this seems like almost Broadway quality performances, you know, and I think that there's something to be said to give, if you're Disney and you're in this entertainment venue, why not expose people to, you know, really high level live entertainment and a performance like this, because down the road when they get home, they may travel 2 hours to the nearest area to go see, you know, Lion King when it comes through town.
Yeah, we'll agree. I wish there was a way to like update that theater, though. I mean, I know Finding Nemo, I mean, it's a great show. They already have like the script, right? They've been doing this show for years, so it's probably easy to bring it back, but like it'd be nice to keep that show, like that theater, fresh, right?
Yeah,
like change out a show every like 3 to 4 years.
Right. But, right. Yeah. That's one
just
thing.
To bring more, just to bring more people in. But I tell you, it's a great place to beat the Animal Kingdom Heat as well.
So, let me ask you, I don't know if you remember. So do you ever remember watching, I can't remember. Did you ever watch Tarzan Rocks? Cause that was
before my time.
Outside, dude, it was hot. It was so hot. And you probably never saw Festival of the Lion King when it was over in Camp Minnie Mickey and it was not air conditioned.
I did.
One time I had gone to the bathroom. I thought I was passing out. Like I was that hot. It was crazy. That was because it was like an indoor theater, but it wasn't. Can you imagine nowadays, like in 2021, if they would have had a theater for a show and it was not air conditioned in like July? What are they doing? Like, it's a wonder we're all still alive. I still remember. I went to the bathroom, man. I thought I was done. I was like, this is it. I'm out. Okay, Candlelight Processional is coming back. How about that? That's a surprise. I'm excited for this. Everybody loves Candlelight Processional. That'll make it feel more normal, you know, at Walt Disney World during the holiday season. Now, no local choirs because of the stuff, but they're still going to have the big tree, but I think it's all going to be cast members.
Yep, that's kind of what I was reading. I've never actually seated for that show before. I've walked by a couple times and just kind of stood there and kind of watched a little bit, like after dinner or just kind of strolling through World Showcase. I probably should try to do that sometime. I'm not going to be there during these dates this year, unfortunately. That's the thing. I'm normally not there during those dates when they have the show. So that's the problem.
That's the problem with Marathon Weekend. I love Marathon Weekend, but it keeps me from going over like Christmas and New Year's because a couple of years, though, it fell at the right time. Like we could go down for like on the 30th and do New Year's Eve, do some of the Christmas stuff. And then Marathon Weekend was like, you know, 4 or 5 days later, but now it's, you know, that was 2 weeks.
Yeah. You know what was great last year, though, is like because of the Give Kids the World show that you and Ricky did there, and Pam unfortunately couldn't make it, but she still called in and did the whole show with you guys, was that was right after Thanksgiving. And that is almost like a perfect time for me. Like Thanksgiving is done because my family loves Thanksgiving. Elizabeth was born on Thanksgiving Day. Yours and Elizabeth's birthday are like back to back. So you're a Thanksgiving guy too, I think.
Yep.
But then right after that's done, boom, like you are so ready for Christmas. And that's like the perfect week to be down there, which we were last year.
Yeah, because you're almost Christmased out by like, you know, December. Well, especially after Christmas. I mean, I love Christmas.
And I'll be honest, I got the Christmas music going all of November too. But though you're prepping for Thanksgiving.
Right.
But then like once Thanksgiving is over, like I am just like full speed on Christmas.
100%. 100%.
But we're never down there that week. we need to be down there more during that time. It's just, you're right. Between Wine and Dine and Marathon Weekend, it's hard to like put another third trip right in the middle of winter there or fall.
Well, plus for me this year, you know, with the 50th, that's like a bonus trip. So I'm there at the end of September, beginning of October, you know, that because I'm going to be there for like 4 or 5 days as September turns over to October, then down 1 month. And I got the Chicago Marathon that next weekend, which is, you know, a weekend gone up in Chicago. Then, you know, it's Wine and Dine. Then December's, you know, crazy for everybody. But then, you know, immediately after Marathon Weekend. So, yeah, can't be there all the time. You got to make choices. Run Disney. I mean, it's a great experience, but it does kind of pull you away from just the spontaneous vacations.
It does. And it puts you into like really crowded, busy weekends.
Yeah, 100%. I know. Wine and Dine. Good. That's why I swore off Wine and Dine, and I walked myself right back into it. We'll see how it goes. Okay.
I kind of didn't help you there.
No,
though.
It's fine. Hey, man, we're going to have a fun weekend. It's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I'm just trying to get through Chicago. Like, I'm not really looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to getting the medal and, like, the Ray shirt's a Nike shirt. I saw it.
I need to train.
I
really need to start training. I'm overweight and undertrained. Not a good combination.
Race weekends are way more fun with Scotty G. So
I can make Wine and Dine work, but I will be honest. Like I am really scared about Dopey right now. I could not do a marathon right now. I really need to put in some mileage.
You got time. We'll be fine. We'll get you there.
I do have time.
Okay.
I do have time.
Big story that I teased earlier. So let's get to it so we can open up the phone lines. All of a sudden, Rise of the Resistance is going to have a standby queue, you know, so you can just hop in and wait in line for Rise of Resistance. No longer do you have to do the 7 a.m. Rise of Resistance. Got to get in the virtual queue, which we have been talking. I wish I could go back over the last 18 months and look at how many questions on Wednesdays we have answered that relate to getting a Rise of Resistance boarding group. It's just part of the lexicon now. And beginning on September 23rd. So is that Thursday? I think it is. Is this
probably
comes
this
out?
Show is released. Yeah, it is.
So there you go. So if you're listening to this on the feed, today's the first day you can wait in line if you'd like for Rise of the Resistance. You just get in the standby queue, and no more can you. You know, you don't have the boarding groups will not be available anymore. And of course, this is in anticipation of Genie Plus and the pay. This wouldn't be a Genie Plus selection. This would be the pay your way in. Yeah.
Is this like? I feel like they're going to announce that Lightning Lane is going to start that same day too.
That's right? That's what I'm thinking. I mean, it's like that's why they're doing this.
Yeah, like that's. I'm just thinking from a business perspective, not to get anyone all like riled up, but like, hey, we've had all these people that have been riding this for free in quotes, you know, or per your park admission. Like, let's just start having people pay instead. And we'll have the same amount of people ride. Like, I don't know. Like, it seems like they just are ready to start making that money from the Lightning Lane.
I think they are. Okay. Let me ask you this though, because I mean, a lot of people have been saying Ricky, especially, you know, and I'll have to get a hold of her because she's not going to be on the shows this week, which is ironic because, you know, this is kind of her thing. But she just said, you know, I just want to be able to jump in line, even if it's a 9-hour line, which I understand that because if you are willing to wait 9 hours and you pay $100 to get into the park and that's the only thing you want to do, that and maybe go do Toy Story, that's your right. I mean, that's totally your right if that's how you want to budget your X amount of hours in the park. We all complained about virtual queues, right? I mean, we had a lot of people like, I got shut out two out of the three. I didn't get my ride until the last day of a 9-day trip. First 2 days, didn't get in, so I was sweating bullets. People don't like getting up early and doing that and getting disappointed. I mean, is this a win for the guy? 100%, I'm with you on the business aspect. These things are going to be pricey, and the thing is, people are going to pay it. Like, that's the thing. We all see on Twitter when anything gets announced, you know, Genie Plus or, you know, the prices for this, this, and this. And I get Disney's expensive. I am not rich. I forego a lot of other things so that I can go to Disney and do things as economically as I can. But this is one of those things, though. People go on vacation. They're going to say, you know what? We're here. If that ticket costs $25 a person, people are going to drop it like it's no problem. And that's, I'm not going to, because I've been on it a few times, but I mean, that is going to be, I don't know. What do you think? Like in general, is this a win for the regular guests? Where does this fall?
I feel like I can't answer that yet because like it can't, it's not going to be like a 9-hour line. Is it going to be like 120 minutes, you know, 180 minutes? Like, I don't know.
I would say four. I bet it would get up to four hours.
So I don't know. Is it a win to spend 4 hours of your day waiting in that line? Like, I don't think it is a win where like, but it depends on how big your party is. Like, you know,
this is great for solo people. Three, yeah. It's not good for families. I mean, if you have a family of five and it's $25, I mean, that's like a whole nother admission into the park basically for one ride. I don't know.
I think we just have to see Mike, how big these lines are getting, right? How many people are paying for the Lightning Lane? There's a lot of like factors that are going to have to roll in. So I can't give like how I feel, but like, yeah, to your point, I've done it a bunch of times. So like, I'm not too worried about it. Like, I'll either pay like once a year maybe to do it or once every like few trips, or I'll just bite the bullet and wait if I really want to do it one day.
Thing is like, you know, if here's the thing, I feel like it's more in my favor at this point is somebody who is a person who's an early bird. Like I remember the days where you had to get inside the park. So I would get to the park. I don't know if you're with me, but it was like one day after the 5K. I can't remember when it was, but we got to the studios at like 5:45 or it was 6 o'clock in the morning. Maybe the park opened at 8 or something. And we like stood outside forever and there were a ton of people outside the booths and they let you through the touch points and you had to wait. I waited on Sunset Boulevard down by the Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster. Yep. Then you know, once it was time, you punch for your boarding group. And then I went straight to, cause the park was open. Then I went straight to Rock and Roller Coaster. I mean, I feel like you have a little bit more control because if you get to the park early, you're going to probably ride within the first 90 minutes. And then it's out of the way and the rest of your day. Cause the one thing I always said about the virtual queue and the boarding group process was, you know, even at 7 o'clock in the morning, you could get a boarding group of say, and I never got a low one. Like if I always got like in the 60s or 80s. And the thing was, okay, I know I'm not going to have it early, but I'm planning to go to that park that morning because I already have my theme park reservation. So that's something. But the thing is like, you know, if it was like 60 or 80, I would do the morning and then we go back to the pool. But all day I'm checking my phone. Like, okay, where are they? Oh, I don't have time to do this. Where are they? You know, and I'm always, and then it would break down and you totally get screwed up. We're trying to make a dinner or something. Yeah. That's kind of a win for me that'll be gone. But I mean, you were going to get on though, for the most part. I don't know.
But Disney needs to announce like what early is like, so say the park opens at 9, like they can't pull that. Like we're going to actually open it at 8 business.
They will, because they don't like people staying outside.
So you got to plan to be there like an hour and a half early just in case they do open the gates early, you know, like, because I could just see a lot of people going to guest relations. Well, I got here at 8:30. You said the park opened at 9:00, and like there's already like thousands of people in the park because they got here like at 8:00.
That's a good point, because you know they will. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have always done that historically. All right, so let's do this. Let's open up the phone lines at 407-413-9395. Again, 407-413-9395. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. First of all, first question, Space 220, 71, Steakhouse 71, which one are you most excited for? What do you think about the changes to the boarding group process? If you want to do the virtual queue, you got until Thursday. And then, is this more control in your hands? I think it is, obviously, to sell more. Now, do we call those lightning lane passes? Because I thought, the terminology, I think the lightning lane is just the actual lane. Is that the name for the it's like the highest level pay for the ticket kind of thing?
Great question. I think it's just called lightning lane. I really don't know, Mike. Maybe someone can call in or in the chat can tell us that we're wrong. But
yeah, we'll see. I mean,
if it's called the lightning lane, I feel like it's like, because it was called like the fast pass lane, you know, right. And it was a fast pass that you got some, like, you buy like a lightning lane ticket.
But like, see, here's where I'm confused, because everything's, I mean, I saw today that Muppets has a lightning lane, right? I mean, who's going to buy that, right? So if you buy that, I want to sell you a couple things. Like I got some McDonald's Happy Meal toys to sell you, because.
Which ones have you gotten? I only got one, and it was like a frozen like lizard dude.
Okay, that's the one my nephew got. And I was arguing with my because I've never seen Frozen 2. She's like, "Yeah, I got this lizard." I'm like, "Oh, I bet you it's Pascal from Tangled." She's like, "No, it's not." I'm like, "Dude, there aren't that many lizards in Disney movies. I'm telling you, it's Pascal." And then I looked on the box. I was like, "Oh, I haven't seen that movie. It is a lizard." I was like, "I've gotten three Minnie Mouses, and I got a
Tinker
Bell.
I'm going to trade you.
I got you.
Minnie Mouse is my favorite.
I got you a Minnie Mouse in the bag. I want a Mickey Mouse. You know what's bad about these toys? Here it is, right here. See."
But I
haven't opened the other two, so I'll send you one.
What's the theme park background? Like the lizard from Frozen 2, it had like Spaceship Earth behind it.
This is a Cinderella Castle.
Okay, that makes sense.
But you know what's terrible about this? This is just a little rant I have with my wife today at lunch as I ate my two chicken nugget Happy Meals. Is that there's no Buzz Lightyear. Come on now. How is there not a Buzz Lightyear? There's no princesses either. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Elizabeth is so mad at me because I'm like, I kind of want to get them all, you know? She's like, what are you going to do with them? They're not Beanie Babies.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Or they're going to be like Beanie Babies.
I'm not trying to get them all, but I would like to get like my favorite characters.
Christmas time when they did the Runaway Railway, I went to a McDonald's.
You did.
I know, and they gave me all the toys. Yes. They sold me all of them for like 50 cents each. It was like jackpot.
That reels was one of the best reels ever too, by the way.
Yeah. Would I have had the Soarin' loop playing in the background? I'll have to repurpose that one.
Hang on. Minnie just fell down. Her foot came loose or something. Okay. And Riley's about to eat her. Okay. Hey, we have our first call tonight. Who's joining us?
Hey, this is Matt. How are you?
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Mike, I have to say thank you, first of all, for helping us plan our trip. I am Megan Polsky's husband, and you've been helping her plan our trip that's coming up here at the end of October.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity. I sure appreciate it. So you guys getting excited? I mean, it's a month away now.
Yeah, we're real excited. We've been excited for a whole entire year. So, yeah, we're really excited. Megan has a help countdown on her phone right now.
That's how to do. Hang on. Make sure I hit the wrong button. Sorry, I hit the wrong button. The dog was in here hitting my arm. It's like tonight is weird. Like we had a clap of thunder. It's not raining anymore. So
that's okay. All,
so what's on your mind? How can we help you with that trip? I can't wait to go down myself here in a couple of weeks.
Well, we're super pumped to get down there for the 50th anniversary for sure. So we can't wait to see that. And then the Polynesian and seeing like all the changes of the Polynesian, well, that's like a dream trip for us for staying there. So we're super excited to see that. As far as your questions go, you said about which restaurant we're most excited about. I don't think we're going to get reservations this time, but, at least maybe in the future, I'm super excited for the space, the new space restaurant in Epcot.
Yep. Yeah. You know,
that looks super cool.
I think here's the thing. I don't think I was clear. Like I'm more excited for that restaurant for like the first experience because it's going to be very immersive. I don't know if you guys ever been on the Disney Cruise Line, gone to one of their restaurants.
Yeah, that's, I was about to say, I stopped talking. I was like, I want you to talk, but I was about to say that. I was like, it reminds me exactly of the Disney Cruise, like in during the, the vision of the different countries as you're sitting in the bar there and seeing all those different things that pop up there. That's exactly what I was kind of thinking of. That's why it got me excited about the Space 21. It's just like that experience.
Yeah, I agree. Scott, too, he's mentioning Skyline, which is the bar on the Disney Fantasy and the Disney Dream, where as you're in the restaurant, like the whole background, like all of a sudden it's like you see cars going by in Paris, you see the Eiffel Tower, then you're, in London.
It's cool.
It's also kind of like Animator's Palette, too, while you're sitting in a restaurant and there's a show going on. So that'd be cool. Like a little astronaut comes by and tap, tap, tap. So I'm like, I don't know what it's going to be.
I wonder if it's like the cruise line where they'll have like different drinks and food that are, part of the, if you see this planet, you get special drinks for during this planet or things like that. Like that's what they do on the cruise. Like, oh, we're in France. Now we have special drinks for France. And like, that was always really cool.
That's a great idea. And what if they have like Easter eggs in the video that they play out the windows, where you're looking out into space and maybe, it's not real prominent, but you see like a little Buzz Lightyear. doing a spacewalk. That'd be awesome. Maybe
get the piece of planet rocket that's flying through the space.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. Oh man, Disney needs to listen to us, man. We give them so many good ideas.
I know.
So what else?
We were all jazzed for doing the boarding groups for Rise of Resistance. We were ready to do that. We had the plans in place. We knew we were going to do. We're going to get up early and it's going to happen. We're ready for this, right? And then they announced that this isn't going to happen anymore. And it's like, now I hope that I can. Because we have two small kids. We have a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old. So it's like, I don't really want to stand in line for hours for Rise of Resistance. Like, that was a nice thing. We kind of thought that with the boarding groups, it was like, well, if we get a boarding group, great. Then we can go on the ride, right? If we don't get a boarding group, then no big deal. Like, we can do it in the future sometime. It was nice because we knew that if we got up early, we did everything that we had to like get a boarding group and we still didn't get one. Like, okay, we didn't get to do it this time. That's fine. But now with the line option, it's like, well, now we kind of like we had the option to do it, so do we stand in line? Like, or do we just, if the line is too long the day we're in, we're there, like, do we just not do it? Like, so that's the tough part now, because it was, with the boarding groups, it was kind of like either in or out. So
it was out of your hands, right? I mean, that's the greatest thing. Like, like the universe has spoken, like, I am not supposed to do a Rise of Resistance today.
Exactly. Yeah. So I didn't get a boarding group today. Okay. Well, the universe says I'm not supposed to get on Rise of Resistance on this trip. Okay, yeah. Cool. No problem.
That's why I ever tell everybody the force was not with you on this day. I'm sorry. That's a Disney one. Let me ask you a hypothetical though with that, because again, I wasn't thinking about it as a person. This is why I love this show, because we can help so many other folks. I haven't thought about taking little kids for a while because, I got teens, which are more high maintenance than little kids in many ways. not always, but let me just say. So say, okay, you wouldn't have to buy one for the baby that's one, because the kid doesn't need media tickets to get in the park. So you'd be looking at three. What? Okay. Say that day you go, you see that it's $10 a person to ride Rise. Would you pull the trigger at that price point? I'm just curious, like, what people are thinking about this. I'm wondering.
Yeah. $10 seems like it would be, so $30 for all three of us to go on. Like, a guarantee we're going to go on Rise that day. Yeah, I think I would pay $30 for us to guarantee to go on Rise that day. If it's $25 a person, I'm going to think twice about spending $75 for all three of us to guarantee to go on Rise. Because, I am a huge fan of Star Wars. My wife is, like, she follows it. Like, she knows what's going on. My son, like, he likes it. He enjoys it. So it really would be pain for me to be able to go on it. For them to experience it, right? So I don't think it's worth $75 for the two of them to do it. And like, knowing that we're going to be back to Disney too is a big thing for us too. We know we want to go back to Disney every few years. Like, it's, it's our home kind of thing. Like, whether it's a cruise line or the world, either one of them, it's like, this is the one we do on a regular basis if we can. So I know I'm going to go back, and I know I'm going to have another option to go on Rise, and who knows what the situation of how I can get on Rise in 3 or 4 years from now is going to look like too.
That's a good point. Now, here's the thing I think that Disney has to really watch in the balance here. And I'll get Scott's ideas on this, because, you pretty much jumped at three people at $10. And I think a lot of people would jump at that. And what's going to happen is Disney really has to balance this out, because if you have everybody jumping at that, the standby is going to be forever, because those people are going to have priority over the people that are waiting in line. I think they got to almost...
Your lightning lane is going to be backed up too, Mike.
Right, right. Like, exactly right.
If it's too cheap, you might be jumping right on and you won't.
This variable pricing thing, because I mean, they've done it at like sporting events for years. Like when the Cardinals play the Pirates, like they'll pay you $5 and give you a beer to go to the game. But I mean, when we play, you know, the Cubs, you're paying, you know, out the nose, and that's just kind of, it's supply and demand, right? They just want people in the seats. And this is exactly the model that Disney's now adopting with this variable pricing. I don't know, Scott. I mean, it almost has to be priced where it's not comfortable, where it's a, you know, it's a big ask. Otherwise people are going to be waiting forever on both lines. I mean, Scott, what do you think?
Correct. And I feel like they could still hit that, whatever their market dollar is, whatever that dollar is that they want to call it like a successful process or whatever. I can't think of, I know there's a term. I can't think of what it is.
Yeah. They're kind of return on investment or something
That's what I'm looking for. Thank you.
Yeah. Cause they're probably not looking at the throughput. You're right. They're probably not saying we want to get 7,000 people through here today. They're probably at this point, which is scary, but they're probably saying we want to make X amount of dollars per day at Rise the Resistance, which is that's a whole different philosophy.
Yeah, it reminds me of, it does remind me of like back when we did Fast Pass, when we had that as an option, where the Fast Pass, it was weird because you'd have everyone, you know, I'm only going to go on the ride if I have a Fast Pass, right? And then you had this like huge standby line because you had everyone like, oh, I'm just going to walk on this ride. Like, I'm only going to go on it if it's a Fast Pass. So I wonder if that's what's going to happen with the individual attractions. I think that's what Pam and Ricky were saying about these ones. Like the Rise is called the individual attraction. You need to pay for the individual attraction. And there's Genie Plus that gives you the lightning lanes also, because you pay the overall price, like what, $15 a day, and you get all the Genie Plus rides. And then there's the individual attractions you can pay for, like Rise. So it makes me think, like, does that mean that we're going to have the same situation where the standby line, like you said, is going to be 4 hours long because all these people are willing to pay $75 to go on Rise, and then you have the same problem you have with FastPass, that everyone just, they're only going to go on the ride if they either pay for it or they have a lightning lane.
That's a great point. Here's the other last thing that I've been thinking about this week, is that with FastPass Plus, as it's been for the last decade, even though like when you didn't have a FastPass because, you know, you were outside your window or you'd use three, or, you know, there was nothing available for that ride and you were just in the standby line, say for like Space Mountain, maybe at a 45 minute wait, people are shooting past you in that left lane, you know, they're walking on, you know, you would kind of be like, God, I wish I was that person and getting on quick. But the thing was, the whole system was equitable, right? I had one of those earlier that day, probably. And now I just don't have one, where I felt like everybody at the same price point had the exact same rules, you know? And the thing is, I think there's going to be a little bit of a case of the haves and the have nots in this new scenario, where I'm still willing to wait 2 hours to ride Rise, but I mean, I'm going to be a little perturbed. Not that, I mean, this isn't just, but I mean, if somebody's willing to pay $100 to go past me, I mean, I'm not going to be mad at them. I know. $100, but I mean, it feels slightly like a little have and have not to me.
Yeah, for sure.
Matt, can I ask you a question? Mike, I want to ask you the same answers for both of you. So in Matt's situation here, we're talking $25, so that would be $75 to ride because you got the one-year-old. Would you be willing, say you have a 50s primetime dinner later that night, would you be willing to give up, you know, that ADR, you know, it's going to cost a little extra for that meal, and do counter service instead to have a little extra money to put it towards that attraction? So basically, would you rather ride Rise and eat counter service or have like your 50s primetime dinner?
I guess the thing is tough with ADR is that you have to cancel it within 24 hours, right?
Correct. Let's just say that you could, you're thinking about this the day before, maybe.
Yeah. We're always going to be kind of in more of the, a quick service kind of family anyway. I think we like the convenience of just like, oh, I'm ready to like eat, you know, especially with, like, again, with little kids, little kids are hungry. Let's eat. Right. So I think I would definitely be in the camp of giving up the ADR to make sure that I could get on Rise. And I mean, that was the same idea with the boarding passes too, right? Like the boarding groups. It was like, well, you don't know, even if you get a boarding group, then maybe it falls at 12:30 when you already have an ADR. I think that's kind of how it worked too. So that's kind of how we were like, well, you know, if we're going to have to give up the ADR to get on Rise and that's our only chance to do it, then we got to do it because, you know, we can always grab food somewhere else.
What would you do, Mike? That's Pam's favorite restaurant.
Yeah, see,
Pam
hasn't done Rise of Resistance yet.
What do you do?
I'm going to dinner. I mean, because that's one of those things that. But again, I'm pulling from a different bucket than a lot of people. If you've never been on Rise, you know, I've been on it probably 5 or 6 times, which it is.
But Pam hasn't. But your wife hasn't.
She's been on it once now.
I know, but let's just say it was this summer.
Again, like I've said on the show so many times, like in the first day, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to ride this. It's awesome. Then we didn't get a boarding group. I'm like, it's a pretty cool attraction. Then the second day we didn't get one, I'm like, it's really not that good of an attraction. It kind of stinks. And then the last day we got one, I was like, oh, yeah, it's an awesome attraction. I just didn't want you to be disappointed if we didn't get on it. So, yeah, it's a tough call because, again, like Eric brings up a good point in the live chat right now. I mean, this attraction money is going to be, so if he has to pull some of this money to go on these extra attractions, he's not getting souvenirs. And it's all about allotment of your funds, right?
That's,
I mean, we're all going to have to think about what are the priorities of this trip. Is it a sit-down meal or is it, you know, less snacks? I think that, right. I mean, Disney's going to get more money out of us. I mean, no doubt, but I think they're not going to get overall so much. I think it's going to be shifting of how the, you know, where we place our money in the buckets kind of thing. They'll probably get more, but maybe not. Mm-hmm. It's not all additional funds. It's just redistribution of your budget, maybe.
Well, they don't ever give hotel discounts. Really, that's where
that's a really good point. I definitely willing to give up other things to pay to go on rides or something like that, right? I would definitely agree with that, that I would not buy as many souvenirs or buy that fancy meal or get those extra snacks at Woody's, you know, Andy's toy box or whatever. Right. I won't get that Pop-Tart there so I can go on Rise. You know?
Right. And, you know, they know that they're going to get, the thing is, as big Disney fans, we're not what this whole system's geared towards. They're gearing it towards the people that see the commercial, book the trip, and they're like, you know what? We're here. We got it. We can't go home without riding this. We've seen it on the commercial 8 times.
That's,
you know,
true.
And it's so.
Sure.
We'll see. I mean, we're the people that, because we can talk about it, we can come up with strategies to hopefully prepare ourselves when we're there that we can make good choices, good sound choices. That's why I like having, you know, everybody kind of coming together on these things.
That's true. Yeah, because that is what we do. Megan and I are going to say, okay, here's all the scenarios we could possibly find ourselves in. And, you know, there's going to be more scenarios once we get there. But we try to say, like, okay, if this doesn't happen this time, we can know we can do it next time. Or, you know, if we have to give up this thing to get on this thing, that we know we're prepared for that. We know how to plan for our day. We know how to plan for what we want to get on, what we want to do. Whereas, you're right, people who we have friends contacting us who are like, hey, I'm going to Disney in 2 months. Like, what should I do? Like,
should get ready because it's going to be busy.
Yeah.
But hey, I'm speaking of the Polynesian, though, I got to tell you, man, that resort is just hitting its prime right now. I mean, the DVC side, I think, just reopened today.
So and excited.
It just, I mean, the monorail station's back open. It looks great. The rooms, Pam just could not stop talking about the rooms. She loved them. So you're just going to have a great time.
And I'm more so happy the monorail station's back open. Like, that's a huge part of it. That's a huge part of it. And then just the, and Megan and I are excited to go to the wine and the wine and food festival over at Epcot, hopefully get a date night to go over there and do that. Like, we're so pumped. This is going to be, you know, awesome trip. It's a good time to go. It's an awesome time to go down during the 50th, during the festival, during, you know, the revitalization of the Poly. Like, it's just, so many cool things are happening right now.
I can't wait to hear what you guys think, and I sure appreciate you letting me help you with the trip. And thanks for the call, because we had lots of great conversations that are going to benefit us all. So thanks, and don't be a stranger. Thanks for taking the time to call in.
Yeah, really, really cool to talk to you guys. Thank you so much. We listen to the podcast all the time, so definitely fanning out here.
Got to play that for the wife upstairs. That cracks me up. She's like, just go downstairs and talk into the microphone for an hour so I can get some schoolwork. I appreciate it. You guys take care. And,
right.
Tell the kids, get excited too. They're going to be having a good time as well.
Definitely.
All right, take care.
I'll talk to you guys soon. All right, thanks. Bye-bye. Have fun.
All right.
Hey, Mike, can I answer Casey's question in the chat about Halloween?
Yeah, go ahead.
So she had a question.
Sorry, the phones are going crazy here. Hang on.
So she had a question about the resort activities on Halloween day. So I've actually been on site for the last 2 Halloweens. So in 2019, pre-COVID days, like, you would see, like, so they had like specialty characters come out to the resort and they would do some Halloween stuff. But so I can't speak to this year, but last year at Old Key West, they did like a scavenger hunt. It was really cool. Like, you had to find villains in the windows and they gave you a little sheet and you had to mark down where the villains were. And then at the end, you got to do like this trick or treating thing, which is pretty cool. And I would only imagine that most resorts are doing something like that. So you'll definitely find
something. Was that at Old Key West or where was that?
That was at Old Key West. Yeah.
I remember talking about that. I think they're really going to want to do that this year though. Cause that's like easy to do. And they're doing, yeah. I'll give them credit. They are doing more stuff like that at the resorts, which I love. Yeah,
and sometimes you'll find some like some treats too. Like there'll probably be like a Halloween cupcake at like the food court or wherever, like a counter service place at your resort. So you'll be able to find cool stuff.
No
like that
way.
Too.
Disney doing no, a cupcake.
Right? With little bats on it, Mickey bats.
All right. We have our next call. Sorry, we had so many calls there at once, but we have our next caller on the line. Who's joining us?
Hey, Mike, it's Carla from New York City. How are you?
Hey, Carla. I'm doing great. How are you? Say hey to Scott.
Hi, Scott. Hello, Carla. So I have figured out how to handle the Disney Genie thing with the extra cost, which is to say that I am earning my way to go to Disney without my children, which cuts down on the cost significantly because I want to do a Run Disney event. And my husband said, fine, you can do a Run Disney event when you do 10 5Ks. And so I did my first one today. So only 9 more runs until I earn a trip without my children, ergo spending far less on the Genie Plus options, because if you don't have them, then it makes it way easier to spend more money on mommy.
You're a genius.
I know.
She's a genius.
I know.
That's right.
And everyone's like, oh, did you want, like, you turned 40, did you want to get exercise or get healthier? And I was like, honestly, no, I just want to go to Disney World without my children. And they're like, that works too. That works.
That's kind of how this all started for me too. I just wanted to go to Disney in January when it was freezing in St. Louis. And I hated running at the time. I was like, I just want to get out of here.
Well, Carla, congratulations on the first of 10 5Ks. Though. That's super exciting.
Thank you.
Is there a race
weekend?
It is,
and I got fourth.
Whoa. I think she placed. Hang on. Go ahead. Wait, did you place in your first race?
I did. I got fourth place in my age group, which is nothing, like, it's not significant at all. It was not a super big race, but, like, it was still, I even said to my husband, I was like, this is my first time I'm shooting for 40 minutes, and I came in at 40:03, and I was like, good enough. It's fine. We'll keep doing better. But my first one, and it was the first time I had run in daylight, because since I work in the hospital and I have to be at the hospital before 7, I usually run between 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. So it's still dark when I get home from a run. And today I was like, what is sunlight outside? This is so weird. It's very different running in the daylight.
I'm the same. I'm a vampire. But I get up before the sun comes up because it gets too hot once that sun comes up. It's a ball of fire. I hate running when it gets hot.
but you guys have kept me company on all of these runs, and the lizards have kept me going when I'm asking questions, but you guys are constantly in my ear when I'm up at 5 a.m. And so thank you. We are going to together earn me going back to Disney World without my kids.
Love it.
Well, hey, that's
so awesome. Which race weekend are you eyeing? I'm curious.
Yeah. What do you like? What ideally, what do you want to run?
Since I went to Disney this year in January and May, I think I'm looking towards not going. I can't, my husband's like, you can't go this year, girl. Like, I'm sorry, you can't. So I'm looking at like Wine and Dine, like whatever, not this gen, like not
2022,
like a year from now, essentially. Yeah. Like the end of 2022, which I think is fine. I was like, it's okay. I've never been in November. And so that would be great. I would love to do Princess, but it's literally my daughter's birthday. And so I either have to take my daughter with me, which defeats the purpose of taking a trip without my children.
Your whole system doesn't work with this. If your kid has a birthday over that weekend, you really can't leave that weekend.
I can't do it. So I think, you know, November, but that's okay. It gives me time to work up to, you know, doing a 10K by then, or even a half if we're really crazy. But for now, I'm going to keep doing my 5Ks. I think November 2022 is my goal to get down there. And maybe by then all the kinks from this new season will be worked out. And so it'll be a little bit more back to normal.
That's a great point, because we're kind of like the beta, or the guinea pigs, because I don't think Run Disney right now knows how Wine and Dine is going to go here in, 6, 7, 8 weeks, whatever it is.
Exactly.
Figure it out as they go. Yeah. That's
so
awesome.
So I'm going to have you send your money,
like,
Mike.
Sign up for that weekend. Like, I feel like I got to be there.
Yeah,
to
I think
support
me too.
This first run
I think
race.
I got to. I think I got to tell my Pam, like, I got to be there. You know, it's my first race.
I know. I'm trying to get another trip out of this.
Exactly. Blame it on me. And I'll say, I earned this trip. I did my 10 5Ks. I have another one on Halloween. I have one. I'm all signed up. Like, I got to keep doing these. So, yes, I will be down there with you guys and all the crew without my children. So then I can spend all of the money on the lightning lane and all the things, because they're not going to be there to ask for snacks.
I'm telling you, because when I saw the prices of the annual passes, I'm like, whew, glad I don't have to buy Paige one anymore, because she's kind of on her own. Like, you know, she doesn't go every trip anymore. So it's like, okay, I'm paying about the same amount. I'm only getting three passes instead of four, but, you know, it's not like it's going to be slightly less, actually. But let me ask you this, Carly, while I have you on here, because we've been talking about this, and I always kind of want to get everybody's opinion on this. So with the Rise thing, what would your cutoff be just as a single person, not as a family? You're down there. I mean, is it something that's priority for you? Would you drop $20 to pass the line on Rise if there's a 2 hour?
Absolutely.
I'm telling you, man, if you stand in that line, you're never going to get on.
I'm telling you, the nine hours that Ricky talks about is going to be real.
So in my, I would spend the money, and I'd have to not tell my husband. But the reason is my husband went as a really poor kid from Queens and took the bus down with his father that didn't speak English and went to Disney World. And he had a terrible time because they didn't know all the things that we know, right? He never got on a lot of the rides he wanted to get on because they were all 3-4 hour waits. And he didn't know about Fast Pass. He didn't know any of those things. And so that's always colored it. So when a lot of the Genie Plus stuff came out, I actually thought, well, that helps the not in the know family a little bit, like maybe not with Lightning Lane, but the other, like them getting a fair shot at that Fast Passes for that day kind of gives them a little bit more of a fair shot, because maybe he could have gotten on Test Track like he wanted to. And so ever since then, that's colored his perception of Disney, and he's never wanted to go. So that kind of, so I almost like feel like this gives me an opportunity, if we did go down, to spend the money on Lightning Lane, to be like, look, see, we can make magic happen, and lines don't have to be 4 hours long, and I just won't tell him what it costs.
So
because that's between Mike and I.
With our ticket.
So you're saying like the line item on the credit card needs to be something that doesn't say paid to get past the line. It needs to say something like
this is why we have separate credit cards here.
What's this $28
charge? It's the key to a healthy marriage. Exactly.
That's true.
No, we have separate credit cards.
That's right. I got my Disney Visa and she's got her card. Yeah, that's a very good point.
That's so funny.
Oh, my God. They're cracking up. No, but that, you know, it is interesting that, you know, you have to kind of think about those things. That's good perspective on Genie Plus, too, because, you know, FastPass Plus, you were 60 days out, and only the people that were thinking about that were really kind of the folks that were in the know, reading guidebooks, listening to podcasts, watching vlogs and stuff, where, you know, if you buy Genie Plus that morning, you can still make great plans, you know, without any kind of forethought. That's, I didn't even think about it that way. That kind of evens it out for the people that are, you know, just wanting to have a good day, and they wake up that morning. They can do that. That's a good point.
Yeah. So I know that, like, all of us super fans probably are less excited about it, but it does kind of make me realize he would have had a better experience if it almost been like a more fair playing field for him, because he didn't know these things. Anyway, I don't want to take up much of your time, but I'm going to keep listening to you guys as I keep running all of my 5Ks, and then I will get to be with the whole Lizard crew when I come down like a year from now and get to run my first Run Disney race without my children.
Well, it's going to be a blast.
Definitely without my children.
And wait till you meet Mike.
We need to get you a Lizard shirt with like a countdown, like on the back, like you see people wear around like Food and Wine when they check off the boots.
Oh, yeah.
The 10 5Ks,
yeah,
and you just check them off as you go down.
The best 31.1 miles of your life, because you get a Disney trip at the end of it. There you go.
Yep. Exactly. All right. Have a great night, guys.
You too. You take care. Don't be a stranger. Don't be a stranger. Call us back. All right. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
That's so fun. That was awesome. I love these kinds of stories.
That was great.
That's right. Just dump the family.
I like what she said, though. Like, you do, like, obviously, like, all of us, like, want to have some kind of advantage. You know, we're, like, all in on the news and all that. But, like, you really do feel for the people that show up and grab a park map and have no idea what they're doing. And you want, as a Disney fan, I want everyone to have a good experience. Right, Mike? So, like, I hope Genie does kind of create that experience for everyone.
I've always said, and we got a last call. Hang on just 1 second, caller, because I got to say, Disney, because I'm a competitive person. I've played sports, you know, in school. I always had to get the highest grades. I mean, I didn't even care to get high grades. I just want to have the highest grade in, like, the class. I'm just super, you know me, I'm super competitive. Like, I like to do the best I can. And Disney is like the ultimate competition, right? You're competing for ADRs. You're competing for the fastest way to get on attraction. I mean, it is a competition, but I mean,
you're competing for resorts these days. Sometimes you just can't get a hotel.
You just want a room. No, but I mean, the thing is, though, you don't want to see losers. Like, you want to compete to be the best you can, but it's not to see the other person lose. And I think that's a good point that Carla
brought. I want everyone to have a successful trip.
Right. I mean, but
because then they're going to come back, right?
Exactly.
And, like, I don't want Disney to have, like, some negative tie to it, right?
No, because there's a little negative vibe out there right now. I hope this turns around soon. All right, we have our last call of the day. Who's joining us?
Jessica from New Jersey.
Hey, Jessica. We had New York. Now we have New Jersey. What's going on? Thanks for calling.
Not much. I just had a question for you guys. I was looking to do the annual pass, the upgrading to an annual pass, but I heard that if you upgrade, then the like days that you have booked in the parks gets erased, and I'm going in like 3 weeks, and I'm afraid to do it. But I wanted to use the photo pass while I'm down there. Is that true, or do you think it's safe to do it?
So, okay, so I have seen that. I've seen, now see, here's the thing. As a travel agent, I don't sell annual passes. Disney doesn't let us sell annual passes, and they don't let travel agents sell tickets of 1 or 2 days. We can only sell 3 to 10 day Magic Your Way tickets and not annual. I don't know why they have these rules. That's just what they, just, you know, it's Disney. They get to say what they want. Here's the thing, though. I have heard that. So what I would do if I were in your situation, now, are you trying to upgrade like a Magic Your Way ticket and use that value towards the annual pass, or like start fresh?
Yeah, I was going to, and I heard I should do it like the last day, but I really wanted to have the photo pass for like my whole trip, and I just, I don't know what to do.
You don't have to do it the last day. You don't. I've heard that too. I've upgraded on the very first day, and I've never had a problem. I've done this like 5 or 6 times. But what you're going to want to do, obviously, you have to. It's going to work out, I think, because you have to go to a guest services location. And to be honest, if you're in Disney Springs, that's the best one to do it because it's not going to be as crowded, and they are super. They're just, it's less stressful at Disney Springs.
And they have a great waiting area. Like, there's couches you can sit in, air conditioning.
They have like lemon water. Yeah, it's like being at the Yacht Club lobby or something.
It's concierge, basically.
If you're Disney Springs, do it there. But you can do it in all 4 of the theme parks, but you can't do it at your hotel. So you got to do it at either the 4 theme parks or Disney Springs. But just explain to them what you're doing. You're taking the value of your ticket. They can just scan your Magic Band and see what you paid. You'll pay the difference. But do bring that up, because the thing is, they can go into the system to make sure that you don't lose your theme park reservations. I think what's happening is people are just not bringing that up. And what it's doing then is it's not looking, not, do you have any like resort stays? Because if you have a resort stay, that kind of guarantees that you have more theme park reservations available.
Yeah. I mean, we're starting at Copper Creek and then we hop over to Riviera, and it's like, I'm just afraid to like do it. And then like one of the days is completely booked in Magic Kingdom. And that like, cause I have like the dessert party the last day we're there, and I just don't want to like mess it up. And then I don't have park reservations and I can't do the dessert party and all my reservations I have that day.
I hear you. No. So what I would, first of all, screenshot everything.
I was going to say, take a screenshot of what you have.
I mean, that is the number one thing. Okay. If, you know, I'm telling you, I have like 17 screenshots of my October 1st Magic Kingdom theme park reservation because I got it and I couldn't believe it at the time. And I was like, I know I can fake this, but I took a picture of it a whole bunch of times. So have a screenshot and just explain to them, as you're upgrading it and you're paying for it, like, look, here's the deal. I'm very nervous about this. Can you make sure? Because there's no way that should be happening. It probably did happen, and then it got out there on Twitter, and you know everybody's going to freak out about that because that's everybody's worst nightmare. But
especially with the resort stay. The resort stay should really save you on that too, I feel like. But
Copper Creek, you're going to have a great time, man.
Copper Creek
awesome.
And Riviera, like, can I come?
Seriously? Yeah, they're both my home resorts. I've never stayed at my home resorts yet. Like, I've only been a DVC member for, like, 3 or 4 years, and I've never got a chance to stay at my home resort, so this is kind of like a first.
So how many nights at each one? Like, what's the split stay like? Now we're going to get into your trip.
Yeah, three at Copper Creek. 3 at Copper Creek and 5 at Riviera.
Oh, my gosh, that sounds so awesome.
And you got dessert parties planned, too? Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Yeah, the 50th one I got for Magic Kingdom the last night.
Sweet.
Like the 50th anniversary themed one. I'm not sure. I was just reading it. There was like a before party and after party, and there was like a 50th one. That's the one I picked.
That's the one I think I would pick too.
That sounds good. Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, choice, that's the one I would pick. Yes, totally.
So what kind of room types do you have? Are these studios, one bedrooms?
Copper Creek is a one bedroom and Riviera is a studio, which I'm kind of nervous because I know they're kind of small, but it's only me, my husband, and my son's only 18 months old. So,
we don't need much.
Totally
fine.
You know what I want to
love the studios at, I love the studio room at Riviera.
I want to try it.
I'm glad that Riviera is on the second half of the trip because that's the better resort to me. This is going to be so awesome.
I want to try Tower. Yeah. I want to try a Tower studio. At Riv. That little bitty one.
Can I ask one more question about Riviera?
Yeah, go ahead.
So this is the first trip that I wasn't able to get a Topolino's reservation for breakfast. And it's like me and my husband's favorite for breakfast. And I know that they have like a walk-up list. I've never done that before. Like, if I'm in my room, can I hit it? Or do I have to be in like the lobby? Do I have enough time to like go down there, like, or up there? How does that work?
Yeah, you can do both actually. So like that morning there's like a, you can do walk-ups and you can just be, you just have to be like near like the location. So if you're in your room, you can definitely do that. but I'd recommend just walking up.
Okay.
There's no preventable measure, you know, that they prevent you from taking the elevator to go up there. Like, you just go up there and say, hey, it's, you know, it's my family of three. Like, we love this place. Just kind of sweet talk. I'm like, is there any
You're
way that
so
we can
good
get
at
a...
that. Scott can get anywhere like that. I'm not kidding.
I'll go with you. I'll do the talking. Just say, is there any way we can do it? Like, I would just recommend going like first thing when they open, and they might be able to get you in right there, or they might be able to say, well, we can get you in a little later this morning. Like, I think the earlier you're going to have the better shot.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. All right.
I've been told the same with dinner too. Like, they open for dinner at 5, and I've been told, like, if you roll up right at 5, they might be able to get you. And that's normally my trick, because I love that place too. It's my favorite restaurant.
Yeah. I mean, I've never had dinner there yet, but we always go for breakfast. This is the first trip I couldn't get breakfast, and I was just so disappointed. We're finally staying there, and it just would have been so nice to just go to the restaurant.
I would still keep
traveling
trying.
To the restaurant.
I'm sure you will too. I would just keep trying, because people could cancel.
Yeah, I've been looking
so.
Every day.
Yeah.
I check a couple times a day on the app. So, I mean, I might get it before we go, but I just wanted to know just in case we didn't.
This summer, I'll be honest, I got my best ADRs the day of we couldn't get sci-fi, we couldn't get 50s. I got both of them. Olga's Cantina, too. They were available like day of because of cancellation. So even that day, you might get it that morning.
Oh, okay.
I mean, earlier. So, not all hope is lost.
Hey, I'm so excited for you. This is going to be such an awesome trip.
I know,
trip.
Seriously, that is. I mean, you talk about doing Disney right, you are doing Disney right. It's going to be awesome.
Yay. Yes, I'm excited.
Well, have a good time, and thanks for calling from New Jersey. Right. We sure appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
All right, thanks. You have a good night.
Thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Great calls tonight, Scott. What do you think, man? It's a lot of fun.
A lot of good trips being planned. We got, you know, family staying at the Polynesian. We got doing the Copper Creek / Riviera. And then we also got someone going to be doing their first run Disney race. Like, I loved all those calls tonight.
Me too. Thanks for calling. And hey, we're going to be back together again next Sunday night. Now, next Sunday night, it's your last chance to call in for 2 weeks, because we will all be down at Walt Disney World for the 50th anniversary celebration over the weekend of October 1st. Which I was thinking October 1st was a Saturday. October 1st is a Friday. That's totally messed me up for like the last week. I was set that the first was Saturday and the second was Sunday. I don't know why. Like, I was thinking that. So,
and I'm already thinking, so October 1st next year will be a Saturday. I gotta start planning an Epcot 40th anniversary trip too, man.
Dr. Kai, the other day, I've already booked this trip for
Did you really?
Oh yeah, he's all in, dude. Dr. Kai knows he's all in. He's like, oh man, Epcot.
Shout out to Dr. Kai, always sending us those awesome videos on Instagram.
Yes,
too.
Yes, and that is exactly how I roll into a Friday. The split legged guy doing the limbo on his roller skates. That's exactly how it goes. So yeah, do join us next Sunday night. We'll be again live 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, Facebook and YouTube. Give us a call. We love talking to you because we get different perspectives, and that helps us all plan different vacations, because we're all looking for different things out of our trips. Great calls, great conversations tonight. This week, again, it's going to be Scott and myself. We're going to be doing the shows on Wednesday and Friday, so we'll be here all week. I hope you enjoy that with some fun conversations. Of course, tonight's show and all shows are brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. So when it comes time for your next trip, just drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all the great free tools they have on the website to get started with your trip planning. I like to look at the resort guides. If you're thinking about where do we want to stay this time, I'm telling you what, Copper Creek, Riviera, Polynesian, very good. I'm just telling you.
You cannot go wrong.
Exactly. But I mean, Pop Century's fun. The all-star resorts are great. Anywhere you stay on property is going to be a lot of fun. Check those out while you're there. Fill out the quote form. Put in some dates, how many days of tickets you might need. None of that stuff is locked in. We could just check the pricing and availability, get back to you. We'll figure it out. We'll get it in there, and we'll take great care of you. So just drop by themagicforless.com today. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. That one extra click means a lot to us. And thank you to our patrons for allowing us to put this show out 4 times a week all around the world so that we can all come together and have great Disney trips. It's because of your support. And our patrons get Mike in the Midwest every Thursday, so that's kind of a crazy show about, who knows? It's just like what pops into my head when I'm running that
morning. We should do
the
trivia again.
We totally need to do. I have a couple ideas for us to do shows, so we'll have to do that soon. But check all that information out over at patreon.com/brguestpodcast, and thanks to everybody who supports us over there. I'm at brguestmike on Instagram and Twitter. Please give me a follow this week. I'd love to interact with you and share all of the information that I have over there. Of course, you can follow Scott at epscott, E-P-S-C-O-T, and also at Palm Trees of Disney on Instagram. too.
Palm trees at Disney is ready to get a boost. I've been going through my Google Photos trying to like put some folders on my palm tree so I have them ready available. Once I get all that organization done, boom, I'll be ready to rock and roll.
That's right, because everybody needs a palm tree of Disney on a Monday morning. I'm just saying, like, yes. Monday mornings.
I should definitely get one tomorrow, though. That's a great way to start the work week for
Sounds good. All right, so we're going to duck out of here and hope you are having a great Thursday as you listen here on the feed. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this. I hope you enjoyed these extra Thursday shows because they are different than everything else. But to be honest, I love these shows because we get to talk. When we open the mic, we don't know what we're talking about. And that's what I love about this. And thanks for all those people that are taking us on their runs. Because I know it's, more than Carla. I love that. So that's very cool. I hope you're having a great week. So for Scott, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Thursday. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.